But reading Psalm 100, please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Now I want you to take your device, put it down, put your Bible down. I want you to grab your neighbor by both hands. Look your neighbor square in the eye. They need to hear this today. Grab them by both hands. Look them square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, my attitude determines my altitude. Neighbor, my attitude determines my altitude." Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "Our Attitude Determines Our Altitude." I want you to look at your neighbor real quick and say, "Neighbor, I don't know about you. I ain't scared of heights." Can we talk for a few minutes? Now, what are we talking about here? Because, Pastor, I can't figure out where you got that from because I can't see it up in the scripture. Well, work with me and you'll see. What we have to understand as God's people, our attitude determines our altitude. The reality is this. When we look at our world that we live in today, when we look at the world, and I know, Aaron, you're reporting it. I check you out every evening, you know, and then I look at somebody like Mother Austin who still hums and praises God at 97 years old. No, 97 years young. And when I see what is happening, Aaron, you see it from a different perspective than a lot of us will ever understand. Because sometimes you got to get up and close and personal with it. And then we all know about what's happening within our government and what's happening up there with 45 up in Washington, D.C. We know about the chaos. We know about the shooting in Santa Fe, Texas. We understand about the previous shootings. And we see each time it happens. And you know what? With this one that just took place, you haven't heard much about it after it happened. Think about it. Then we look at even, it gets closer. When we look at our lives and how we used to have so much vigor and so much energy, and now we're getting older, or we got hit with a disease and things have happened, or a loved one was hit with something and things are happening. But with all these things happening in our lives, it has an impact on our attitude. But the question is, how do you allow it to affect you? Because when things happen, we automatically give a reaction. But the question is, if the reaction is negative, if you don't do nothing about it, that negativity will spill over in every aspect of your life. Yeah. It will impact you to the point that even when you come to church, you can't praise God. You'll come here and you'll go through the motions. You'll wave the hand when everybody else is. You'll clap with everybody else. You know, when they say amen, you'll say amen right along with them. But truth be told, your attitude is such, I want you to know that your clap and your praise ain't never left the ceiling of this church. Because it's about your attitude. Because when you look at the Bible and where the Bible deals with the concept of what we ought to be about, the Bible tells us a whole lot. And when you read the Psalms, the one thing that the Psalms always deal with is praise. It deals with joy. It deals with letting us to understand that No matter the conditions of our society, the conditions of our household, the conditions of our own health, we can look at Psalm 122 when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And then as we're dealing with things in life, we know that there are other psalms that we can pull out and we can talk about. But we're seeing that if we don't have the right attitude, it's like somebody being afraid of heights because you ain't going to ever rise. But I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm rising. Are you coming? Now let's go and look at this particular psalm, because this psalm is going to break it all down for us, all right? Because we understand that my attitude determines my what? Altitude. Now let's go and break this psalm down, and we ain't going to take long to do it, but here, go along with me. It tells us in verse number one, make a what? Joyful noise to the what? And who does he say should do it? So who does that exclude? Who does that exclude? But who does it include? All right, I'm with you, M. Rose. But you understand what we got to understand, that when the psalmist was writing this, when I did the research, one of the things that so many commentaries and theologians say about this psalm is that this psalm was written specifically for Gentiles. Whether we agree or disagree, that's okay. But what the reason why it said that a lot of these theologians say this is because it doesn't say Israel. It says all the earth. You see, because what was happening was that you had individuals that became God-fearers, that would go to the temple, who were not Jews, and they would go to the temple, and as they would come to the temple, they couldn't go into the inner courts. They had to stay on the outer courts, but still what they wanted them to know, that since you are now God-fearers, you got to come in here making a what? Joyful noise. And what we have to understand, that every child of God, when we come in God's house, we ought to have some what? Joyful noise. I know everybody can't sing like my choir up here. Not my choir, but God's choir up here. But what I want you to understand, every child of God can make a what? Joyful noise. Who are we making a noise for? You see, and then what he is saying here in verse number two, he says that, y'all ready? Y'all sure? Worship the Lord with sadness. Huh? Wait a minute, hold on, let me wipe, because you know I get excited, eyes get a little wet. Worship the Lord with, I got it right now. Worship the Lord with gladness. Well, some folks will say, well, I ain't going to fake how I feel. If I'm mad, I'm going to be mad. Yeah, but when you come in God's house, you better find some joy. If you want to leave this place better than how you came in, you better come in here with some gladness. I know it might have been rough before you got here, but Lord, what better place for me to be when all hell is breaking loose in my life? What better place for me to be when I'm battling a illness? What better place for me to be when I'm having marital issues? What better place for me to be when my kids ain't acting right? What better place to be if I just lost my job? What better place to be when my money is getting funny? I tell you, if I can't be glad anywhere, I'm going to be glad in my daddy's house. Do I got any witnesses in this place? Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. You see, I want us to understand something. If we're going to come up here and worship, we got to have what? Hello. Can I be real with you? There are some days I'm driving here, I ain't glad to preach, but something happens to me when I start riding up in this place. God reminds me. It might seem like everything done gone wrong, but guess what? Aren't you able to drive this car right now? And when you pull up to this place, who got you here? Say. And if I have commanded you to be who you are, don't you think I'm going to see you through? Because if I brought you to it, I'm going to show enough get you. Or somebody going to work with me. So God just continues to remind me. So no matter how I might feel before I get here, but when I get here, I'm going to worship the Lord with. You know why I want to worship the Lord with gladness? Because my attitude is going to determine my altitude, and I can't lift up my praise if I come here with a tight face, mad at everybody, sucking my teeth, looking around at what is going on, rather than looking up to the one who brought me through this and brought me through that and is blessing me right now. Anybody in here know it's nobody but God that brought you this far? Nobody but God that's making a way for you? I tell you, I gotta worship the Lord with gladness. If you want to see yourself rise up, you got to worship him with. All right, let's go on. Whew. He says, worship the Lord with what? Come into his presence. With what? Oh, let me tell you something. You know, and Ronald, my brother, can attest to this. Ronald, every Sunday I come up in here, Mrs. Chavis take the cinnamon bun. She puts them in the oven. But the only thing that they don't do, remember how mommy would take them and cut them in half, put the butter in them, wrap them in the foil, put them in the oven, get them get hot for about 15, 20 minutes. And whenever I come to this church on Sunday morning, I take a, oh, and it takes me back. You know, and there is something that we got to understand. Whenever God is here on Sunday morning, he expects to smell a sweet aroma. And the only way he gonna smell that sweet aroma, we got to come joyfully. We got to come with gladness. And we ought to come singing. And as we do that, and we have the right attitude, then our altitude of our worship rises up to the nostrils of God. And when it reaches God's nostrils, God all of a sudden smells all that goodness. And you know what? Once God smells all that goodness, don't you know what God does? He opens the windows of heaven. And God begins to, oh, somebody go work with me. God begins to pour out blessings. And oh, but let me go a little further because it's going to make sense in a minute. Verse 1 says we got to make joyful noise. Verse 2 says we have to worship in gladness. And we ought to come singing in his presence. And verse 3 says we got to know. You can't be joyful if you don't. Amen. You can't be glad to worship if you don't. You can't sing his praises if you don't. You see, Sister Davis, it all starts on whether or not we. And if I know him, then I can, then verses 1 and 2 make a whole lot of sense. But now that I know him, you know, I want you to understand that now that I know the Lord, that he is what? God. That I want to know more about him. You see, I'm not trying to have an affair with God. You see, because when you have an affair, it'll last for a little while and then it's over. You see, I'm here to have a lifetime relationship. And by having a lifetime relationship, that means I want to know you better each and every day. We got some folk that have been married in this place for a number of years. And when you first met them, I guarantee you know a whole lot more about them than when you first met them. Wives, say amen. Husbands, say amen. You see, and I want you to see that I ain't just thrilled with just knowing a little bit about him. I want to learn more about him every day. And what the writer of the psalm is letting us know, it is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Do you know that you ain't make yourself? Don't go and let folk allow you to get it twisted. You are not a self-made person. The Lord made you. Brother Phil, I know you're dealing with some breathing issues, but the Lord has still got you. Amen. Amen. And guess what? And the Lord got it so that you walk around with your own oxygen. And guess what? You're breathing in because of the fact that, you know, the Lord knows you need just a little bit more. But you know the only reason why you are still here is because the Lord is the one that made you. You see, I know we deal with hell and high water sometimes in our lives. We deal with the valley. We deal with the mountaintops. But no matter what we go through, we know that we ain't make ourselves. And the God is that who we serve is the one who made us. He made us from the dust of the earth. And now that we are who we are, we ought not to walk around acting like we all that, a bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. I want you and I to understand that we are where we are because there's nobody but God who is blessing us, who is keeping us, who makes a way for us, who opens doors for us, who knocks down walls for us, who watches over us during good times and bad times. Oh, what a mighty God we... But let's go on. Let's go on. You see, verse 1 says you got to have joy and you ought to be making a joyful noise. Verse 2 says you got to worship him with gladness and you ought to be coming in his presence with singing. Verse 3 said you need to know him. Why do you need to know him? Because he is your creator. And you know what? And since he is our creator, y'all, this psalmist now says that he's also, we are the sheep of his pasture. That means that since we are his sheep, that we got to be led by somebody. You see, the problem with sheep is when sheep try to lead other sheep. Because when sheep try to lead other sheep, I want you to know the wolves are waiting to say, come on. Come on. But since we are the sheep of his pasture, we recognize that we have a good shepherd. And the Lord is our shepherd and I shall not want. And since I got a good shepherd, I know that the pastures that he provides for me, I want you to know it don't get no greener than that, Sister Ruby. That what God has for us is the green stuff. And God gives us the best that there is to offer. And I want you the only reason to know that you might not have the best, you better check out your attitude. Because your attitude determines your what? Altitude. When it seems like in your life, no matter what goes on, don't nothing ever get better, you better check your attitude. When it seems like in your life, everywhere you turn, everything is falling apart, you better check your attitude. And if your attitude is right, all you got to say is, that's all right, whatever's going on, I know for a fact that the Lord will make a way out of no way. Because I know I got the right attitude, and I know that it's determined my altitude, and I ain't afraid of height, and I'm going to let the Lord rise me up. And as he rises me up, I'm going to praise him however high he takes me. Because I understand that my attitude determines my... Okay, somebody working with me. But look at it. Because he tells us in verse 4. Enter his gates. You see how it keeps coming back? It's reminding us. We ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving. You know, he tells us earlier, come worship the Lord with gladness. But you got to come with thanksgiving. Do you realize that what do you have that God ain't blessed you with? Amen. Whatever you're driving out there, God blessed you with. No matter how much your shoes cost, 100, 200, 50, or 300, guess what? God blessed you with it. Don't you know that money that's in your pocket that don't jingle, that nobody know about, don't you know who blessed you with that? God. Don't you know that the reason why you're able to sit right here and hear what I'm saying is because God has blessed you. When you understand that all the things that are happening in your life is nobody but the Lord that made a way out of no way, you understand that you have a reason to come into his gates with thanksgiving. That's why I don't care. Some folk try to mess with you because they say, I don't know why they always smile. I don't know why they always shouting. I don't know why they always thanking God, because they understand that I wouldn't have nothing if God ain't blessed me. I know what life was like before the Lord. I was toe up from the flow up, and now that I am where I am, I can't help but give God thanks. Do I got anybody that understands that I come into his case with thanksgiving? Anybody mind giving God some thanks right now? Anybody just don't mind waving your hand and saying, Lord, I thank you. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and oh, bless his name. We got to bless his name. How can I bless a God that got everything? I bless God who got everything. The way I bless him is how I live my life. The way I bless him is how I walk and how I talk. The way I bless him is allowing folk to see my light illuminated wherever I go. Because I want folk to know, you look at me and think I'm all that. I'm here to tell you, no, I ain't. But I serve a God who's all of that and then some. So that's why I bless his name. Because whoever I come in contact with, I let him know no matter how bad it is, God can make it better. That's how I bless his name. I bless his name by letting those who I come in contact with. I want you to know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I tell you, wherever I go, I gotta what? Bless his name. You see, because our God is just good like that. Now let's bring this thing to a close. I'm making a joyful noise. I'm worshiping with gladness. I'm coming into his presence with singing. I know the Lord is God. I know he made me. And I'm the sheep of his pasture. I enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Oh, I got to bless his name. I think the writer got excited, y'all, when he did this. Uncle Ray, I think that when he was writing this psalm, when he started going back before he finished it, he got to the end of verse number 5 and said, "Whoa, wait a minute, I can't end it on this. Verse number 4, I can't end it on this." He said, started verse 5 by saying, "For the Lord is good." And Aunt Celine, when I think about being up at St. Paul's Baptist Church in Montclair, New Jersey, I remember how Deacon Wilson would always say, "God gets gooder and gooder." And my aunt that sits over there, whenever I call her to check on her, she says, "I'm doing good and working on better." But the only way we can ever say those kind of words is we must know that the Lord is. And when you know that the Lord is good, you got to reinforce the good by saying it out of your mouth. But if you don't have the proper attitude, you'll never speak about God in positive terms because of the fact that you are so bitter. Y'all, let me tell you something. Life will make you bitter. But I want you to know that God is able to take something that's bitter and make it better. But it's all left up to the attitude that you have. Because life will give you some lemons. But God says, I don't care how many lemons life gives you, that if you trust me with your lemons, I'll take those lemons. And I want you to know that the word of God is sweeter than a honeycomb. And when you add the sweetness of God to those bitter lemons, I want you to know that you got yourself a big jar of lemonade. But I want you to know you'll never have the lemonade if you ain't got the right attitude. If your attitude ain't right, you'll never get to the right altitude where you will be able to see that God wants to do great things in you, through you, and around you. I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, it all begins with our attitude. It all begins with our attitude. But check this out. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, don't miss this. You're going to talk about that the Lord is good, but you're going to treat the person next to you like dirt. When you treat folk like they are dirt, then how can you truly say God is?" Because your attitude towards others ain't right. You see, when we talk about attitude, it's not just our attitude towards God. It's our attitude towards... I was about to end it right there, but y'all, some of y'all looked at me a little funny. I guess I got to go 5 more minutes. You see, because I want you just to understand today that when we talk about our attitude isn't just about how we can say we love the Lord and that the Lord is good. But when you see somebody in need and you walk by them like, "I ain't got time for you." Or you see somebody in the church going through something and all you want to do is say, "Baby, tell me what's going on with you." And then when you get out of their presence, you start blowing up the phone. Thank God we ain't got folk here like that. But let's go on. It's about our attitude. You see, if we're not careful, life will make us bitter. And when life makes us bitter, our attitude is such that our altitude can exist. I want you to look at your neighbor right now and say, neighbor, I ain't a chicken. I'm an eagle. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? You see, Sister Fee, I know you're from the country. And since you're from the country, I know you know about chickens. Right? Now, have you ever seen a chicken fly like an eagle? Because a chicken wasn't built to fly. Not like that. They got wings. They might can jump to the top of the fence or fly to the top of the fence. But they can't go much further. Can they, Reverend Rose? You see, a chicken can't get high altitude. The question that we have to ask ourselves, because if our attitude ain't right, we only can fly like chickens. Did y'all hear that? But if you recognize that the Lord is good, and you treat other folk like they are good, then you can fly like an eagle. You see, we read in Isaiah chapter 40 that we ought to mount up with wings like, run and not get weary, and walk and not faint. It's all because we have taken on the eagle mentality. I don't care if you just was a chicken before you heard this. God wants to transform you into an eagle right now. He wants you to soar, my brother. He wants you to soar, my sister. You'll never know how far you can go until you transition. And you know why you can transition? His steadfast love endures for how long? Forever. And his faithfulness to what? A few generations? All right, you know what that's telling us right now? I don't care where you think mama and daddy fell short. You ain't got to fall short. I don't care how you messed up on yesterday and you are deserving to be a chicken. God says that his love is endures. And because his love endures forever, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you of all unrighteousness. And since he'll forgive you, what he is telling you, you don't have to be a chicken, but you can be an eagle. But it only happens when you look at your attitude. Can nobody beat us up like we can beat up ourselves? Amen. We can beat ourselves up so bad that when other folk punch on us, we don't even feel it because we done been numbed by beating up ourselves. But what I'm here to tell you, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, your freedom is right now. Because God has a way of freeing you. God has a way of letting you know that it's time for you to change your attitude. It's time for you to recognize that you can have altitude. You don't have to be afraid of heights. You don't have to be a chicken. You now are supposed to soar. You are supposed to be elevated. I know that you don't deserve it, but none of us deserve God's grace and mercy. All of us with all of our righteousness is like filthy rags in the presence of God. None of us deserve what God has for us. And since none of us deserve it, God says all of us can have it. Now, I want you to know you can have it right now, but it's about you trusting in him. It's about you shaking some stuff off for you. It's about you confessing with your mouth. And when you do, you can soar like eagles. My attitude determines my altitude. And we're going to end up by you saying this to your neighbor. Neighbor, I ain't afraid to fly. Some of y'all done said that like I don't want to get on no airplane. I ain't talking about airplane flying. Even though that's the fastest way to get from A to B. I'm talking about you flying in the Spirit of God and Him elevating us here at Broad Rock. I want you to know that Broad Rock, we don't have any limits except the limits that we create for ourselves. I want you and I to understand that God is ready to take us to higher heights. God is ready to do great things with us. But in order for those great things to happen, we got to check our what? Attitude, because it does determine our what? Altitude. And when we get our attitude correct, I want you to know it don't matter. We can fly as high as we want because an airplane is only pressurized to fly at a certain altitude. And if it goes above that altitude, that plane will crush. But I'm here to tell you, as a child of God, that we can fly as high as we can believe. And as we believe in God, you ain't got to ever worry about the cabin be pressurized. God's got all that taken in consideration. God is taking care of us. So what I'm saying to all of us in here, are you ready to fly? My attitude determines my altitude. So as we come to you today, I ask you, are you a chicken or an eagle? Because I want you to know you can change. And the change can happen right now. But in order for it to happen, God's got to be first. God wants us to treat each other with love and respect. And as we do, there is no limit on what God will do in this branch of Zion. And I'm here to tell you, when some folks start seeing the building being built over there, they're going to look like, yeah, I don't need that. I don't care what you think we need, but it will be used to glorify God. Because whatever we do, who gets the glory? And since God gets the glory, and as long as we have the right attitude, then it will determine our. And I don't know about y'all, I'm ready to fly. Do I got any folk ready to fly high? I got any folk that are ready to go to places you ain't been before? Do I got some folk who are willing to say, I don't care what I was, I know what I'm about to become, and I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know I didn't get here all by myself. I know it might be rough right now, but Lord, I'm thanking you, because I know that you are a good God, and you're going to take care of this, and you're going to take care of that. And that's why I'm here in this place, and I'm going to make a joyful noise and worship you with madness. Because I know that the Lord is God, and He created me, and I'm going to come here with thanksgiving, and I'm going to bless His name wherever I go, because the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. And it goes to all generations.